Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio Network, Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman. Walker, how are we doing on our today's issues Facebook page?
We're doing very well. A lot of people commenting on Brother Charlie's story there. They really appreciated that. And one, as I think Ed mentioned, one of the Karen said, you know, what about writing an autobiography?
Charlie,
because he has so much knowledge of all these events. Anyway, so we got a lot of good viewers on Facebook commenting there on the show, and I posted a couple news stories that we've discussed.
He said 55 years in the news business?
55 years.
That's quite a career. What are you talking about? He's gone all the way from being at 9/11, coincidentally, just flew back into, you know, from Jordan and into New York on 9/11.
He was over in Dallas when JFK was was shot.
Yeah, and then he was in El Paso training Bozo the Clown or producing the show or whatever he said he was doing there.
Well, they had Bozos. Sounds like I'm making it up. They had Bozos coming from all over the country.
Sure they did.
To have some
sounds
kind
like
of
DC.
Lessons because they were having such success with the El Paso Bozo. You had Bozos.
Is that proud moment for you, though?
Traveling to El Paso.
Do you go home at Christmas and all the family's gathered from around the country and you get together and they go, hey, Charlie, tell him what you're up to. And so anyway, I'm just, you know, I'm trying to be humble about this thing, but we have got the best Bozo training in the country. And, you know, I'm just telling you, I feel like this is my calling.
You know those letters that people sometimes will send at Christmas? The letters talking about all the good things
that have happened to you in the last year?
Yeah, you can brag.
Right.
And so
right.
Do you send one of those at Christmas?
I think you do. You say know? Bozos from around America will be brought into El Paso.
We're very proud of that.
We're very proud of that fact. Yeah. So anyway. All right. Steve Jordahl is with us. Good morning, Steve Jordahl.
Good morning. You know, there's a saying in show business, you never follow children, animals, or Charlie Butts.
That's Charlie, 55 years. Yeah. What a career. I'm sure there are many more stories.
Yeah, we keep hearing them. Like Fred was saying, they keep popping up.
But he doesn't, my understanding from Fred is, and from you, is that he doesn't brag. So the only time you ever hear one of these stories is when something comes up. He'll say something about,
he was there or whatever.
So you're likely to be talking about like Brad Pitt, and he'll say, "Yeah, I met him on a plane one time."
Yeah,
because the rest of us would brag about every.
I think he's the real life. Who was the guy they made the movie about? Life is like a box of chocolates.
Oh, you're talking about Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump. He's the real life Forrest Gump.
Really, really bad imitation.
Sorry. you know. By the way, he trained Bozos for a living. And now he's working over there, and we're all learning from him.
Yes.
In the news
all
department.
The Bozos in the
all
news
the
department.
I got to say, that the one, though, that made me skeptical of Charlie's veracity was the one where he said he was with Neil Armstrong. Did that not seem a little far-fetched to you?
That did.
You know, that was all in a soundstage in San Antonio.
Well,
so
he may have been with him.
He might have been with
Neil Armstrong.
Might have been with him.
Other than that, everything was very believable, you know, that he shared. All right, Steve Jordahl, tell us what's happening this hour.
Well, we're going to have a further update. I know you guys were talking about the Paul Manafort charges that came out, and we're learning more after they came out and after Fred came in here, we learned more. So I think I'm going to call this from the Russian files.
You've got to have some more of that. Play that a little longer. No,
not at all. It's only a couple seconds long.
That's our Russian problem. Good stuff right there.
Okay. So, forward.
I want to go wrestle a black bear right now.
Don't you?
I want to put that on my iPod. I haven't done that yet.
I bet we could.
I lost my iPod, though.
I bet we could. I think Donald Trump has it on his. So the news coming out today is a former Trump campaign advisor named George Papadopoulos. He worked with the Trump team in the spring of 2016. He was an energy and foreign policy expert. Well, he actually communicated with, he told a campaign supervisor within the Trump team that he had made attempts to meet with the Russians to discuss U.S.-Russia ties during a Trump presidency, mm-hmm. if that were to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And he lied about it to the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
They have another
well,
indictment.
Well, he came out of the FBI, so he should get in trouble for that.
Well, but they're calling this the link between the Trump campaign and the Russian. NBC, as you might imagine, thinks this is the smoking gun.
Yeah.
So he has also – now, here's the interesting thing, is that he was arrested in July, this last July. He pleaded guilty on October 5th, and under this agreement – he has to divulge what he knows. The language is respond and provide information regarding any and all matters as to which the government deems relevant. I believe, my opinion, that his testimony is what brought in Mueller and Gates.
You mean Manafort?
Manafort. I'm sorry, Manafort and Gates to Mueller.
Well, mm-hmm. let me ask you this. Now, I'm not an attorney. Maybe this mm-hmm. is a question for Abe Hamilton, our general counsel. But now, there's collusion. The accusation of collusion is about the Trump campaign working with the Russians to affect the outcome of the election. That
right.
would not. Well, would it be collusion? Well,
hang on.
I haven't asked my question.
Okay.
would it be collusion for the Trump campaign to want to talk to officials of Russia or any other country about a post-Trump presidency?
That would seem a legitimate thing to talk about. Hey, if my guy wins, these are the parameters. This is what we want. Mm-hmm. Here's, and probably the conversation went something along the lines of, who do we call if we don't want to pick up the red phone in the
right.
Oval Office, who do we talk to? What are the back channels? Who, mm-hmm. you know, how these things go. But he relayed to the Trump campaign during this conversation with the Russians. The Russians said that they had dirt on Hillary Clinton by way of thousands of emails. So.
So.
That's where. Now, so the Russians apparently or allegedly told Papadopoulos that they had dirt on Hillary Clinton. Papadopoulos goes back to the campaign, says, guess what? They've got dirt on Hillary Clinton. After that, I think you had the meeting between Trump Jr. and the Russian lawyer, which amounted to nothing.
How is that different than the Hillary Clinton campaign paying Fusion GPS millions of dollars to get dirt on Trump from Russia? How
it might be
different?
One step removed. In other words, it was one step closer with Papadopoulos in that he met directly with them. But really, in effect, there's nothing.
Well,
there's no difference.
I want to go back to my earlier comments at the beginning of the show and clarify. If there are laws, federal laws broken, like this tax fraud, I am for people being prosecuted to the fullest extent, and I'm for that being applied across the board no matter what party you're affiliated with.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I give Hillary Clinton such a hard time, because I think at times she's broke federal law. But what I'm frustrated about this is that this is about the focus of this special counsel is about whether the Russian government and the Trump campaign met in back rooms
right.
and did secretive communications
right.
so they could overthrow our representative democracy.
Basically,
and,
yeah.
And so when you're charging a guy for tax fraud that happened before he was associated with the Trump campaign,
right.
I'm thinking to myself, what? And I right. know we've said that they use this to get to other things, but I don't think, as you said, Dad, I don't think there is other things.
Well, there might not be.
Right.
Did you see this? I know you said that you read the original indictment or the indictment against Manafort and Gates.
Yeah.
On page 16, I don't know if you noticed this. This is what I highlighted when I read it. Toward the end of the first year, in November of 2012, Gates wrote to Company A and Company B, these are firms that he was dealing with, that he needed to prepare an assessment of their past and prospective lobbying efforts so the president could be briefed by Paul on what Ukraine has done as well as what it can do better as we move into 2013. Hmm. Now, Paul Manafort allegedly by this was going to brief the president. Who was the president? Who was the president in 2012?
Yeah, it would be Barack Obama.
Trying to think, it was. It was.
Wow.
Interesting.
Really?
I didn't read that.
Now, he might have been boasting.
You think it was the president of Ukraine or Russia?
No, no, no. Okay. Because, well, how would Paul brief the president of Ukraine? He was going to brief the president of the United States. Now,
Paul, you're talking about Paul Manafort?
Paul Manafort.
Well, he was working with This is my understanding. Now, I'm not up on, you know, the length and breadth of Ukrainian politics, but
I am.
You are, okay, so you'd be able to answer this better than I am.
I mean, I'll correct you if I see anything going awry.
There was a pro-Russia president of Ukraine, Yanukovych, I think.
Yes, that's who he was dealing with. He was dealing with pro-Russian sympathies within the Ukrainian government.
But that was Yanukovych was the president of Ukraine at the time, wasn't
he? I believe so.
Okay, so Paul Manafort could have been working with that president,
right? No. Clearly, he was going to bring this back to the United States, and he was going to...
All right, this U.S. president.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. He was gonna, but
we're losing
now,
people. We're losing.
The last thing I could say is it might have been the guy boasting. Yeah, I'm going to go tell President Obama what we're doing. He might never have made the meeting. Right. We don't know, but at least it's in the...
I just know that... if I had the last name Papadopoulos, I'm opening up a restaurant.
Yeah.
Because who wouldn't go to Papadopoulos's for dinner, huh?
Yeah. My mother's maiden name, Fotopoulos.
Was that
so Greek? Yeah.
George Papadopoulos. I just like saying that.
There you go.
He what was George's role now in this?
Just George. George was arrested in July for lying to the FBI about having a meeting with Russia. He had them
with the whole country.
Tried to set it up. Yes, every
we met
person.
With the whole.
It was on Facebook Live. You know, it was with Russian agents that said that they had
dirt on Hillary.
Dirt on Hillary, and he lied to the FBI about it.
Other than that, dirt on Hillary, she's squeaky clean.
I think you know just that might have been.
There's not much, much out there on her.
A momentary lapse in judgment.
Okay. So anyway, when I hear about these emails, what do you say? Who was it mentioned emails a while ago?
Me.
About
Hillary. Because that's what the
I
dirt
just
they had.
I always come back to, and who's responsible for the email server in the bathroom and doing State Department work? Mm-hmm. And who decided on that?
Well,
was that Papadopoulos?
George Papadopoulos?
George Papadopoulos?
Somehow it must have been Trump.
Oh.
Well, it had to have been.
Well, okay. All right, anyway. Or George Bush.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's have some separation here. Let's leave this story behind. It's kind of ridiculous, all this stuff. Let's talk now about what happened on the TV show called The View.
Yeah, I know that you'd probably like to get away from the stress of your life and watch something like The View where a bunch of liberals, taking...
I'd rather have a root canal, but anyway, go ahead.
Or a root canal, one of the two. So during Friday's episode of The View, they were talking about a British study that showed that many of Christians in the UK wanted to pare down the Ten Commandments. They wanted to shave a couple of those commandments they didn't like off. And one of the hosts talked about her growing up. Her name is Paula Ferris. And she talked about because one of the commandments is do not take the Lord's name in vain. And she talked about how she was growing up. Now, in this clip, you're going to hear they've censored out a couple words, one word twice, that ABC didn't think was appropriate to air over the public airways. You might think we're going to be ready to listen to an F-bomb or something. Listen to this clip from The View.
I have a funny story, though, about taking the Lord's name in vain. You know, my parents were really strict about what we said in the home. Like, we couldn't say, oh, my God. We couldn't say JC. We couldn't say G. My son, you know, I know.
Yeah, a lot of
we could say G's.
You could say G's, but not sus.
Yes, unless you were praising him. And then you could say.
My son, we
implement this in our.
So, what was it, the word that
well, they
could
say
out?
Praise something. Yeah. They were Catholic, and they were strongly religious and Christian, so they could say praise something. We just don't know what they could say praise. It might have been praise a bad word.
Well,
You're being tongue-in-cheek.
Just to get this straight, what we were listening to was a segment on the TV show The View with Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Behar, and I don't know who the other two are.
I don't think Joy Behar wasn't on that
particular. I don't know. It's a rotating cast. I don't watch it.
So anyway, but it's a fairly popular program with women across America. But within this segment, they're discussing the use of the Lord's name, talking about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it was based on this story out of the UK where the Christian young people are deciding they don't like the Ten Commandments. They want to cut it down to 4 or 6 or whatever. But the point is, within the context of this conversation, the producer of the show, The View, decided that using the name Jesus Christ was inappropriate and needed to be censored from the show.
That's right.
Now, could it be, Steve, that this person was doing this because they didn't want to offend Christians by using the name of Jesus Christ in a way that's not respectful?
No, I don't know. They mentioned the name of God. They said the name of God.
I think you are... You need to be careful anytime a bite starts with this. I have a funny story about taking the Lord's name in vain. I think flags go up right there.
So what's the point of us bringing this up, Steve?
Well, the point is that we have a Hollywood that is kind of a little hypersensitive and anti-religious. They're anti-Christian. I cannot figure what was in the mind of the producer who decided.
Well, now tell me if I'm right on this. Now, when it originally aired, it's live.
Yes.
And Jesus was not censored out. It's when it was rebroadcast, they had made the decision. Yes. We better mute.
Did anybody comment on why they did that?
No, they didn't. They took a bit of a hit on social media, but. They didn't ever give any reason why they did that.
It wasn't. I can almost guarantee you it wasn't because they were afraid that Christians would be offended because it was the Lord's name in vain.
They produce
shows that are filthy.
They didn't want to offend people who's, you know, the cross is an offense.
It's right. Christian religious.
The Bible says that.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim. With Ed and Walker and Steve Jordahl, thank you for listening to AFR. Go to our Facebook page for this show, Today's Issues, and we're live video streaming there, as well as you can send us an email at comments@afr.net. You can download the app for American Family Radio for free on your cell phone or your other smartphone or your iPad or similar device, and take you about 60 seconds to download the app, and then you can listen anywhere in the world to American Family Radio 24/7. Steve Jordahl is in with us, as he normally does, from 11:05 till 11:30 Central Time each weekday here on American Family Radio, except for Fridays. What's your next story, Steve?
Well, the Hollywood continues to fall apart over sexual harassment claims in the wake of the Weinstein revelations, and we had an A-list actor who got caught. Another actor. This actor's name is Rapp.
Anthony Rapp.
I want to say Mitch Rapp, which is a fictional character, but yes, Anthony Rapp. When he was 14 years old, says that Kevin Spacey made a sexual advance toward him and abused him. To which Kevin Spacey says, man, that was a long time ago. I was probably drunk, and that would have been very inappropriate. But it has encouraged me to address other things about my life, and as of today, I'm coming clean. I'm gay. So basically, in order to kind of deflect people from the fact that I abused a 14-year-old boy, I'm going to come out as gay. And that way, you kind of can't touch gay people in Hollywood. That's just... They're kind of, you don't...
Sacrosanct.
Yeah. They're the, you know, the privileged ones.
Unless you're lesbian, because lesbians in Hollywood, including Rosie O'Donnell and Wanda Sykes, have blasted Kevin Spacey, saying, no. And in fact, they all say, we all knew about your behavior following the Harvey Weinstein. He said, you're not going to hide under the rainbow. We all knew, and this was what you did is wrong.
Yeah, so his plan might have backfired, but I have no doubt that he was trying to say, hey, I'm gay. That's the reason. Now, Corey Feldman, this is an actor who was a child actor back in the 90s, I think, 80s or 90s.
80s and 90s.
Corey Feldman says that the next thing to be revealed about Hollywood is pedophilia. That there's a lot of these older men abusing younger boys and girls over the years, and that's going to come. Maybe this is the break, because this is pedophilia, what Kevin Spacey is accused of doing, which is attacking a 14-year-old.
Yeah, Corey Feldman said he's going to produce a film, a documentary about this. He had a friend, Corey Haim, who I think committed suicide.
They were both on a show.
They were both on shows together. Corey Feldman says that Corey Haim was abused more than once by Hollywood big shots, and that led to his eventual death. I don't remember if Corey Haim was an OD overdose or whether he intended to commit suicide. I don't remember. But Corey Feldman says now he's getting death threats. I have no idea whether that's...
And to Corey Haim, to your point about Corey Haim, no one who is sound of mind and perfectly mentally happy commits suicide.
Right.
If Corey Haim was abused, as is alleged, it wouldn't take a very long for a psychologist or a psychoanalyst to say that his abuse had something to do with that death.
Right. So Kevin Spacey, the well-known actor.
He's on House of Cards.
I know who
Academy
he is.
Academy Award winner, yeah. I think, isn't he?
Yeah, but my question is, other fellow. Anthony Rapp, who's also an actor,
yes.
I guess.
Yes, he was a child actor formerly.
He has now accused Kevin Spacey of sexually abusing him when he was 14 years old.
That's right.
And Kevin Spacey
was 26.
Was 26. And is Kevin Spacey, did he admit to that?
He says he doesn't remember. His statement says, I have a lot of respect and admiration for Anthony Rapp as an actor. I am beyond horrified to hear this story. I honestly do not remember the encounter. It would have been over 30 years ago. But if I did behave as he described, I owe him the sincerest apology for what would have been deeply inappropriate drunken behavior.
How do you remember you were drunk?
Well, he's...
Saying it's 30 years ago and I don't remember,
No. Y'all don't misunderstand me. Either you say you're capable of, you would have been capable of doing this, or you would say, I would never do anything like that. This idea that you can get by with an answer like, you know, maybe I was drunk and molested a 14-year-old. I don't know. It could have happened.
Right.
You know, it could have happened. Yeah. I get liquored up, do things, you know. So if I sexually molested this 14-year-old boy, you know, forgive me.
Well, now, that would have been bad.
What's your next question?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not an answer. That's a confession.
Yeah, that seems to me.
That's a confession or how many other 14-year-olds did Kevin Spacey, if he was capable?
That's what Rosie O'Donnell and Wanda Sykes are saying. We all knew about you and your behavior.
Oh, really?
So this is another Harvey Weinstein thing where it was an open secret.
There's a lot of open secrets in Hollywood, and I think they're all going to start coming down now.
Well, you know, the world's full of debauched people.
Well, just remember what the Bible says, that what is hidden will be screamed from the highest mountain. I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the exact quote.
Housetops.
Yeah.
But sexual immorality in Hollywood is accepted. You know, it really should be no shock when you learn that that people are molested or violated or abused, because that's kind of the world that they've created for themselves out there in many ways. We're out of time. Thank you, Steve Jordahl.
My pleasure.
Ed, thank you.
You're welcome.
Walker, appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
See you back here tomorrow, folks. Have a great day. Keep listening to AFR.